Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm going to do a speed run of why you should get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen to all your favorites abroad when you're traveling. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, especially on that public Wi-Fi, airport, coffee shop, venue, hotel. You can also get the Nord Password Manager in case you're always forgetting your password. It's available on all your devices and operating systems, whether it be TV, phone, laptop, desktop, whatever. You can even put it on your router. They also have the file encryption tool to help protect that. 24/7 tech support, so in case you don't know how to use it, they'll help teach you how to use it. It's the fastest VPN on the planet. You can change your virtual location with just one click. Maybe the game's blacked out, you want to get pay-per-views at other prices. NordVPN.com/Fightful has all of that, and there's always a great deal going on there, but here's the best deal. 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. But you're gonna. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in here to the Fightful YouTube channel. It is almost 11 o'clock. We are at 10:42 here on the Eastern Standard Time on what was definitely a headline-making Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. I will say that much. Rick Uccino, Phil Lindsay here with you guys. Phil, wow. Well, it took them 23 years, but they finally pulled the trigger on that John Cena heel turn.
Yeah, I did not expect this at the final hour during his farewell tour. We talked about it a bit on Grapsody. I started seeing the makings of it this week. They really kind of put it up on a tee on Monday, especially when they started playing that video package. And once Punk lost, I was like, yep, seems like we're here. Think that's where we're going.
To be completely honest, like, I will go back to the Royal Rumble press conference with John, where he came in and there was like an immediate tone shift from him. Mm-hmm. Like heading into the Royal Rumble, it was, I'm just happy to be here. This is my lottery ticket. It's my chance. Maybe I can go win. I don't know if I still got it. There's a, you know, I haven't been winning a whole lot of matches lately. A lot of uncertainty, right? Like, and not a lot of confidence coming out of John Cena. The second after he gets dumped over the top rope by Jey Uso, he walks into that press conference and he says, I'm not taking any questions. I am taking my spot in the Elimination Chamber because I have earned it with everything that I've done over the last 23 years. And I am going to go to WrestleMania and I'm going to win my 17th World Championship because that's what's best for the company. It was a complete switch of attitude. And right there, and I'm just thinking in that moment, like, because obviously this was way before The Rock even showed up. But I'm just sitting there in that moment and I'm going, that was odd. It was just very, very odd in that moment. And I'm like, would they really do a John Cena heel type run with him going up against Cody Rhodes? It was interesting to me. I think that was the first seed that was planted. And then when The Rock came in and asked Cody to sell his soul, I started thinking and I'm like, it would make a lot of sense if it was John who ended up doing it. And that's exactly what ended up happening at the end of the night tonight. We got a lot to talk about. Obviously, Jade Cargill is back. Randy Orton is back. Everybody with the super chats and the humper chats so far chiming in with John Cena in the main event tonight. Well, after the main event match in the closing segment, we got Mr. Showtime saying, holy S word, never saw that coming. Evan Reich saying, and just think, we got all this because Dave Meltzer said Rocky wasn't going to be at WrestleMania. LOL, keep work. Look, there were a lot of people said, as of this moment, a few weeks back, The Rock isn't going to be at WrestleMania, isn't going to be part of the plan. But there was always that caveat, Phil, that he was going to come around and say, hey, I've changed my mind. Let me come in and see what we can do. And that's ultimately what ended up happening. And when he came out and he did this whole, I want you to sell your soul to me thing, it was a little weird at first, right? But like, now we can kind of see the direction that they're going in. Are you overly shocked that this is the direction that they decided to pull the trigger on?
No, because like I said, I started seeing the signs of it when they did this segment last week with The Rock. And I know what people are going to do. Like, see, The Rock is involved. It's one of those semantics games people are going to play. Of course, people mean they figured he wasn't going to have a match. And sure enough, Rock is not having a match. And so I know what people are going to do. Like, see, the dirt sheets know nothing. He's still not having a match, guys. That's what people meant when they said there would be no Rock here, that there's no match. He's involved in a storyline. I think that started to come together last minute, but you know how this is going to go. The internet's going to do the usual. See, Dave never knows what he's talking about. The dirt sheet guys know nothing.
Right. They were right, but they got it wrong. Exactly. You know, it's
yeah, you know where it's going
to
go.
It's so hard to be an inside reporter in this business where anything can change at the last possible moment, and something you reported on that on Saturday that was accurate could be wrong by Sunday morning, and you end up, you know, looking bad in the process. We had Stephen Bradley, who said, incredible, all caps, show with an all-timer of an ending. Sports and Wrestling Guy Joe said, I never thought I would see the day where John Cena would turn heel. I was absolutely shocked when it happen. If it was ever going to happen, it was going to be now. I think John Cena coming back and just doing the, you know, playing the hits and doing the retirement tour and coming out doing the five moves of doom and, you know, waving the towel, hustle, loyalty, respect, all that stuff. Him doing that for 12 months, I honestly think would have gotten a little bit old. I love the fact that they're being bold enough here with his final 10 months to do something different, to give us an edgier John Cena. Because what's the point? Like, of anytime they were getting ready to turn him heel or would talk about turning him heel, it's like, well, you can't do that, right? You can't do that because of the Make-A-Wish, and he's our company ambassador, and all the reasons why you say you can't turn Jade or Bianca heel now, right? It's the same excuses over and over for John. Cody's taking that mantle up. He is that guy now. So John's free to do whatever he wants. I'm very intrigued to see what a John Cena heel run is going to be moving forward. This makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think especially with the stuff coming into this match, Cody is the top baby face in the company. Like, there, you could easily make the argument he's the hottest pure baby face the company has had since Cena. So it makes sense if anybody's going to be one of his big crowning moments at WrestleMania, it would be wrestling John Cena. And this is very similar to what The Rock did for Cena, where you did this like Battle of Generations with two of the biggest stars of their era. So I think it makes all the sense in the world to pit these guys against each other. And if you're going to have him go back on his word, because initially he was saying before, I don't want to break Rick's record. So for him to change his mind, that's a heel thing to do. He's done multiple things in the run to this match, like you said, that are heel things. Doing the post-show conference and saying, I'm not answering questions, and then immediately saying, I'm going to be in a Elimination Chamber match because I deserve it. I'm not going to do qualifying matches like everybody else. I've earned the right to not have to do that. Then he said multiple times what's best for business. He said it at least three times in that press conference, which I was like, that's not a coincidence. And when they played that video again on Monday, and then we saw the Authority guys with Cody on Friday, I said, oh, yeah. They're very much laying the seeds for him to be the corporate guy.
Which makes me wonder, right? Because if they were laying the seeds back at the Royal Rumble, When did they know The Rock was going to be coming back? What was the original plan for John Cena's heel turn? And when did they decide to merge the two plans together? There's a lot of things. I would love to text Sean right now and be like, all right, get on this, figure out when did all the chiefs get together and finally come up with their plan. That would be very interesting to watch unfold. Or maybe we just have to wait until next year's WrestleMania documentary to come out. Rick Uccino, Phil Lindsay with you guys here. We are going to break down the entire show. Obviously, we got a lot of super chats in and humper chats in coming about the ending of the show tonight. Let's, Phil, let's go back at from the very beginning and we'll work our way through what we saw on the show tonight. And this was a show that started off absolutely on fire. It kicked off with the Women's Elimination Chamber match, which was supposed to start with Liv Morgan and Naomi. And before they could lock the chamber door, we hear Jade Cargill's music. Now, shout out to PW Insider Mike Johnson said that Jade was spotted in Buffalo, which is just a stone's throw away from Toronto. So she does wind up being back on the show. WrestleVotes had said earlier in the week that she had been cleared to compete. She had been out for several months now with an undisclosed injury. So she comes back, and they've been really playing up the whodunit angle for the last few weeks now. It seemed like they kind of dropped it for a while there and would bring it up every now and again, and it was kind of cold. And then all of a sudden, they found that security footage, and it was off and running, and they had the red herring of Liv and Raquel because they were at the scene. And Jade comes down, and it looks like she's making a beeline right for Liv Morgan. And I have to give credit to all the ladies in this scenario, because I thought Liv, with the absolute panic and fear in her eyes, like, please, dear God, don't touch me. It wasn't me. To when Jade turned and just started wailing Naomi, and you just see Bianca absolutely helpless, losing her mind, locked inside the chamber pod as she is watching one of her good friends beat the holy hell out of another one of her good friends, and is just absolutely distraught by watching what was going down. I thought the beatdown looked brutal. I thought this was a great payoff to a long storyline. And I have the texts to prove it. I was texting our buddy SP3. I'm like, I was hoping that this would happen. I predicted that this would happen, and it did happen. What did you think about the return of Jade Cargill tonight?
I thought it was a hot start to the show. I thought it was a great way to kick off the women's chamber match. And I thought the women's chamber match overall really delivered. Miles better than the women's Royal Rumble match. This, like, the way that this kicked off with Jade coming in and making a beeline to Naomi, like you said, everybody played their role really well. Liv playing the role of being chicken, even though she knew she didn't do anything, like, don't jump on me, I didn't do anything. And Naomi, poor Naomi, is getting beat down. And Bianca's reaction to the whole thing of her screaming inside the pod was also great. But I think that Bianca is playing everybody. I think that Bianca is the one that attacked Jade. And I think the reason she was so upset in that pod is because she knows that Naomi didn't do anything wrong, and she took a beating on her behalf.
Now, this is something that I have thought about for a while now, because the way that they unveiled the Jade Cargill attack, right? It wouldn't make any sense for Bianca to be the one who was behind it, because they unveiled the attack on the big screen, right? And Bianca was in her United States women's opening round matchup, and she ended up having to flee the scene, right? And that's how she was eliminated from the tournament, is because she left the match, and I forget who she was competing with, but I think it was it Chelsea or whoever it was that ended up winning that matchup. Because they were left alone with Blair Davenport, maybe. I can't remember which one of the matchups it was. But, yeah, it wouldn't make sense that Bianca would screw herself out of that match unless she wasn't planning on being caught mid-match. I think that is something that you can definitely explain away and, you know, call it retcon, call it what you want. But it's there's definitely still an avenue where Bianca could be behind all this. And, yeah, you're right. She could have been screaming because she just got her friend's ass whooped. We don't know that it was Naomi.
Yeah,
we just know that Jade thinks it was Naomi.
I think it's too easy. I think the fact that everybody has thought it was Naomi the whole time leads me to believe that it wasn't Naomi. And I think the only reason why Bianca got away scot-free and watched this whole thing from the inside of the pod is because she was locked in the pod. Jade couldn't get to her. And I think to your point about the United States title thing, we don't know how long Jade was laying on that windshield. They didn't show Jade get attacked. They just showed the aftermath of the attack.
Correct. Correct. And it just popped up on the big screen. And I might be misremembering this, but like even the way that Bianca reacted in that moment could have also been, you know, like, oh, damn, I just got caught. What do I need to do? I need to go check on my friend, right? Like, I need to go, crap, all right, I got to cover my ass, right? She left because she needed to go cover her ass at that point. We got a super chat from Will Chisholm. It says, Phil, this is the Jade we have been wanting to see. Bianca's acting was great. Again, I think Bianca absolutely made this segment. Jade looked like a total badass. Don't know what kept her out for the last few months. I'm glad she's healthy. I'm glad she's back. What I will say is, with Bianca now having won the Elimination Chamber and she has her match at WrestleMania, I almost kind of hope that it was Naomi, just because they can't do this angle tonight and not have a WrestleMania match between the two of them. I would love to see a non-title singles women's match at WrestleMania, please, for the love of God.
I would agree, but with the way they're booking this Rhea thing, Rhea is undoubtedly the babyface here. They're going to cheer Rhea no matter what. She is one of the most over wrestlers in the company. But that's also why I think Bianca did it, because you want to put Rhea in there against a heel. And if in any scenario, if this turns into a triple threat match, like I've seen people say, and EO could end up in a match, they're not going to boo EO. You need somebody in that match to get booed. And I think it's going to be Bianca.
We got Alan Jeanette saying, Naomi's confession.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it's common. But we are going to provide you with that solution via Hims.com/Fightful. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that all work from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little to 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor's visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment was sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Fightful. That's Hims.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Did it for the EST. After Jade Cargill slams the chamber door on top of Naomi's midsection, she ends up getting carted out. And I think she made history as the only person who was ever eliminated from an elimination chamber before the match even began. Kofi Kingston not counting, because Edge actually took his spot. They just flat out eliminated Naomi in this one and said, see ya, bye. And I loved how it was Bianca immediately who was the one who had to come out of the chamber, and she didn't even pay attention to Liv Morgan, and Liv tried to take advantage of that. But one by one, the ladies come in. Bailey was the first one who was actually eliminated. I thought that was a great little sequence with her and Roxanne kind of focusing on one another. And then she turns around and runs right into an oblivion after she had dumped Roxanne over the rope. So Bailey gets taken out. Roxanne, who I thought had a nice performance in this one, going for a pop rocks, ends up getting pushed off of Bianca's back into a code breaker from Liv, twisted bliss from Alexa Bliss. 1, 2, 3, Roxanne Perez is out. And then Alexa ends up getting eliminated after she hits Sister Abigail on Bianca. Liv rolls through, and right as she turns around and gets her in a jackknife pinning predicament and pins her to eliminate her. I thought all three of those elimination combos were well-timed. I thought they were creative, and I think that's exactly what the Elimination Chamber should be, is those kinds of creative, innovative ways to eliminate people instead of just finisher, you're out. So-and-so. I loved all three of those eliminations.
Yeah, I think most of the interactions between the women in this match were very good. Like you said, Roxanne was excellent in this match. That transition she did into like that Russian leg sweep into the side of the cage, really cool. Bailey keeps trying to figure out ways to slide nods to Sasha Banks into matches, and commentary no-sells it every time. It's so funny every time I notice it now. At one point, Roxanne did the transition over into a crossface, and I was like doing one spots from one of the matches, and commentary didn't say a word. They wouldn't point it out at all. It was so funny.
Ultimately, we do get Bianca who wins, survives two different oblivion attempts on Liv Morgan. I thought Liv was another man. Like, all of a sudden now that she's no longer like the women's world champion, and all of her matches aren't ending the same with, you know, Dom interfering and all of a sudden they're not overbooking her matches. She's just allowed to kind of go out there, relax, and perform a little bit. I feel like it was almost the same way with Nia Jax as well. Like, her performances in the ring have been better since she dropped the title. And I feel like it's the same thing for Liv Morgan. I thought she was excellent in this match as well. Bianca ends up hitting the KOD. Was there any doubt, right? Like, was a stacked field, but it had to be Bianca who came out of this. You had, if you wrapped up the Liv Rhea stuff early, which some could argue you did it too late, you had to pivot and go to Bianca and Rhea, 'cause that's the biggest match you can put on.
Yes. Liv, I think, was quietly the MVP of this match. She took some crazy spots. She took some crazy bumps. I thought that she looked, her offense and stuff looked great here. I think, if anything, this match and some of the matches since she dropped the championship are really a testament to how much sooner they should have gotten her away from Rhea and gave her other title defenses other than Rhea. I think that was the issue. She was having too many of the same kind of matches with Rhea and not enough other matches. Because, I mean, even the match with Io on Saturday Night Main Event was fine, but we just wanted to see more of it. It just, the storyline and stuff that she did with Rhea just got stale, and they should have cut it or at least taken a break from it sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to go with they didn't really, and this is something that I hope that they rectify, right? They never really were building up any additional challengers while Liv was a champion and Rhea was out. Like, they never really, they carried the thing with Becky long enough until, you know, Becky decided to take her hiatus. And yeah, after that, it was just kind of waiting until Rhea was ready to go again.
And yeah, exactly. Sheldon is pointing this out in the chat, and I forgot, we didn't talk about this. To start the show, they had the national anthem, and the Canadian crowd let this poor singer have it. It's just not her fault, but just the state of politics at the moment. Canada is not very happy with America. But what made this even funnier is this big dork Pat McAfee on commentary got so mad at the crowd booing, and he wouldn't let it go. He kept mentioning it multiple times throughout the night of how, man, I hate that we're here in Canada. I was just like, well, we know who you voted for.
What I loved most about that, and I could be wrong about this, I feel like the singer sped up the song while they were booing. Like, she was doing, I think she like immediately just started like, nope, I'm not going to elongate any of this stuff. I am not going to Whitney Houston this thing. I am just going to get this done as quickly as possible and then get into O Canada. And then once she got into O Canada, crowd lost their freaking minds. I thought she did. I felt bad for her because, again, totally not her fault. And like, just like, man, oh my God. But then when she started going into O Canada and everybody was like, yay, we love you.
Big
now.
Pop. Brother love pop. But yeah, this match was excellent. Like I said, I thought Roxanne was great here. I thought Alexa looked great as somebody that has won a chamber match before as a returning superstar. That crowd got very excited when she got in there. I think other than Bianca, there was a lot of people that realistically wanted Alexa to win. And it looked like she had a real shot until Liv basically cost her the match. I definitely think we're going to see Liv versus Alexa in some form by WrestleMania, whether it be a tag match or something. I have to assume that's why they keep flashing the Wyatt Six stuff up when she's on screen.
Alexa, reuniting Alexa and Nikki makes too much sense. It just makes too much sense given their history. Now that she is a part of the Wyatt family as well. Because otherwise, what are you doing with Alexa at WrestleMania, right? You just gave her a big-ass raise. She's going to be at WrestleMania. So I would assume Liv, man, maybe some kind of a match because you got to get damage control in there as well. So I'm thinking maybe Io and Dakota, Liv and Raquel, Alexa and Nikki, and then maybe a tag team, and they do the, you know, kind of the old tired multi-women tag team championship match. But hey, at least it gets a lot of people on the card, so I can't be mad at it. I would assume that is the direction that they're going to go. That's just my guess. Yeah. We had Raphael with a Humper Chat saying, Naomi turns heel. She will get two inconsequential wins. She'll attempt to beat up Jade. And at name a random place on a random show, she will lose to Jade, and then she will lose again. And why did no one destroy anyone Canadianly? Petey Williams was right there. Appreciate the super chats. Appreciate the Humper Chats. Get them in. We will try to read every single. Well, we won't try. I will. I guarantee you. I will read every single one of them before we get out of here tonight. All right. It will happen. We'll go down. Luis, our expert moderator, will make sure I read all these damn things. He will be in my ear. I promise you. I promise.
Along my train of thoughts with why I think Bianca did this, by the way, and why I don't think it was Naomi, is because they had been low-key telling this story of every time Bianca went on and had a singles match, she lost. She was on a losing streak for a good amount of 2024. That was part of her getting the match with Io, and she lost. But if you notice, the person that wasn't losing all their single matches was Jade. She would have won her Queen of the Ring tournament match if she didn't get disqualified. She didn't lose to Nia in that tournament. Bianca did. And that was the story for most of the year of Bianca getting a chance to get back to where she was as a singles wrestler, and she kept losing. I think the whole point of this was that Bianca thinks that Jade was in the way. She didn't want to be in the tag team anymore, and she was in the way. That she didn't expect Naomi to take up the mantle and be her tag team partner. She didn't expect to have so much fun with Naomi doing the tag team either. She wanted Jade out of the way.
Naomi is just collateral damage in all of this, basically. Yes.
I really think that's what this is.
I always thought too, right? Like, it's such an easy, it was such an easy rivalry to build with them because before Jade got there, Bianca Belair was the strongest, the quickest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, you know, all of that. And then Jade shows up. Like, you could legitimately make the argument that nobody matched Bianca, what she could do in the ring, her athleticism, her strength, all of that. And then Jade shows up and they're putting a tag team together, not just losing singles matches. Like when you looked at their tag team matches, when it was somebody who was taking heat or they lost, it was Bianca. It wasn't. Yes. It was Jade.
Jay was picking up a lot of pins in most of those matches. It was to build the hot tag for Jay to come in and look like a massive star.
Yes, precisely. So there, we can see it, right? I'm not saying you're right, but I definitely, I damn sure ain't saying that you're wrong. That's for sure. Again, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in, guys. We will read every single one of them before we get off of the air tonight. We had another one from Alan Jeanette saying, I once sang the national anthem at a baseball game. It is so hard. I don't criticize anyone's performance. I'm not criticizing her performance tonight.
She did great.
She did spectacular. It would have been so easy for a lesser performer to get rattled in that situation and stop or panic or start tripping over themselves. Nope. She just very, very smoothly picked up her cadence, wrapped up the damn song, and hopped into O Canada. I thought she did absolutely great. I forgot who it was who sung it, but good on you. Our next match was the women's tag team match. Tiffany Stratton, Trish Stratus. They defeated Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. I'll be honest, I missed a good portion of this matchup because I was finishing up my story for SI on the Women's Elimination Chamber match. But from what I saw, Trish Stratus got a great ovation. I think she and Tiffany worked really, really well together as a team. So what did you think of this one? Because like I said, I missed a good portion of it. Crowd was hot.
Yeah, I thought that the crowd was very hot for Trish. Good on her 25th anniversary. 25 years in wrestling is nothing to sneeze at. What an accomplishment for her. Man, she looked great here. Every time she comes back and you put her in there with some of the current women, she proves she can still go. I thought towards the end of the match when she hit that super stratisfaction, that looked clean. I'm like, she's still getting up on the top rope and hitting these big moves. Good on her. But most of this match was to do the Impero stuff, to get the hot tag for Tiffany to look strong. And Tiffany looked great when she came in and started doing her offense here. Nia played her role well as the foil to them. But this was just to get us to the point to wrap up all of this Nia stuff. In the end, Tiffy finally pins Nia put this to bed. And we're moving on, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to now at this point. Like this clears the road, right? It's Charlotte and Tiffany moving on. I don't know if there's any plans to, you know, have Trish come back or do something else heading into WrestleMania. I think this made all the sense in the world to have her come back tonight in Toronto. It just so happened barely, you know, in March. I believe March 19th is her 25-year anniversary, so maybe she shows up on that on the Monday Night Raw that week or the Friday Night SmackDown that week. But I agree with you, man. She has not shown any signs of slowing down. Makes me want to do yoga. Like, shout out to yoga. Like, that stuff works, man. Whether you're DDP or Trish, they're proving that yoga's the truth, man. Yeah, she looks absolutely phenomenal for being 49 years old. She doesn't look 49. She doesn't move like she's 49. She's been going for 25 years. And yeah, I think she could still do it full time, honestly, if she wanted to. And I know tonight meant a lot to her. First time her kids got to watch her wrestle. She was out there having some fun. She lived her new lifelong dream of being literally ragdolled by Nia Jax. So I love that for her. That she actually said she wanted to do. And they literally did that spot tonight where she just ragdolled her and chucked her down on the ground. So, yeah, it seemed like the crowd loved it. I'm looking forward to going back and watching it over again. We got a couple of super chats here, a humper chat here from Van Twinblade. Said, Will Washington gave us the best birthday party for Reg he could. This is how you close out Black History Month, Hunter. Goddamn Collision was pumped. Good thing nothing else important was happening tonight. I will be honest, I have no idea what happened on Collision tonight. I got nothing.
The funny thing about it is Reg was in the building for Collision. It took place in Oakland, California. They booked a lot of people that Reg likes. Willie Mack was on this card. He wrestled Will Ayuda. Willie Mack picked up the win, I believe. Also had Queen Amanada on this show. Me and Reg are both fans of Queen Amanada. I've been saying for the longest that they've got to utilize this woman better because she's incredible. And she picked up the upset win here over Julia Hart. I did not expect when this was announced that she was going to pick up the win, but I think that's a good sign. I think you've got to start doing more with her. I did not see any of the TNT title match, but I saw like the way that it ended with Shane Taylor promotion. It seems like they're trying to do more with them.
Yeah.
I think that that's smart. A lot of this that I saw from like the results and everything looks good, but I didn't get a chance to see all of the show. But yeah, I definitely agree, Van. We all know what our friend Righteous Reg likes. A lot of what he likes was present on this show. Hobbs was here. Hobbs got a great ovation in his hometown. That was cool to see. Yeah, I'm sure Reg had a blast at the show.
Well, we hope I absolutely hope that that he did in that situation. Let's see. After that, we moved into, I mean, damn, man. What can we even say about these two at this point? Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, unsanctioned match. Kevin Owens gets the win in this one, but what these two put themselves through tonight and the fact that we don't see this kind of matchup in WWE often, it really felt like a special occasion. It really, it almost makes the argument for why WWE doesn't do these kind of matches very often, because when they do roll them out there, it feels like such a big moment, a big angle to do it on. And I love this match for one particular reason, because the way that these two guys were talking about one another heading into it, right? So often we hear, I'm going to kill you, or, you know, I'm going to end you, I'm going to retire you, I'm going to end your career. And then they don't even get anywhere close to the level of kind of violence that they hyped up this match to be. I thought this match did deliver on this. We saw Sami Zayn go head over heels through two tables. We saw Kevin Owens take a blue thunder bomb through a barbed wire steel chair that went nowhere until about 4 seconds after he hit it, and then he finally fell down. He got slammed through two tables on the outside of it. One of it had like a glass beer bottle pyramid that was built on top of it. We had trash can lids. We had the ring bell. We had the ring monitor. We had these dudes getting hit in the head left and right. Kevin Owens took a drop toe hold onto that barbed wire wrapped steel chair and hit like his eye socket, like right on the corner of the chair. Not a lot of blood in this one, Phil, even though I think these guys tried to bust each other open for sure. Ultimately, Kevin Owens had to hit not one, but two ring apron power bombs to put Sammy away. A nice callback to their, you know, obviously their days in NXT as well. Obviously, Randy Orton is going to get a lot of the headlines for coming back after the match was over. But just speaking for the match here specifically, I mean, this was, again, I've said it two or three times now, this one just felt special tonight. These two delivered again for me.
Yeah, we've seen them have multiple matches. They have great chemistry in all their matches. It's still weird hearing WWE commentary mention Steen and Generico on their shows now. But I just think it added so much to the presentation. I think doing the unsanctioned stipulation here, cutting the lights down, bringing out the ref in the dark shirt and already having his rubber gloves ready in case there was blood, I thought that just added so much to the theme of this match. And then, like you said,
at Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All of the big spots were very squeamish. We didn't get any blood, but we get some really nasty looking spots. That, I believe it was a brain buster. The brain buster that Sammy took on that chair looked absolutely disgusting. I don't know how he continued to wrestle after that. There are a few of those spots with Sammy where he is just putting this guy through as much punishment as possible. And he just keeps getting up. And it's just a testament to how good both these guys are, how good their timing is, how good they are at selling the storytelling and facial expressions. I will say to the end of time, Kevin Owens is one of the greatest wrestling characters of all time. When he was hitting the spots on the outside and the camera got close to him and he just started huffing and puffing and like sneering into the camera. He's so good at that kind of stuff and looking unhinged and looking absolutely crazy. And to contrast that, Sami Zayn in all of his hope spots where he would come back, he does just enough to make you believe that he's really in all this pain and he's staying in the match. One of those near falls he gets where he doesn't get his arm all the way up. He just barely gets his shoulder off the mat.
I love
those.
Looks so great.
So
many times you see guys, they do because they want the big pop, right? They just shoot their arm up and they put all this momentum behind it. And no, Sammy's just like, I ain't dead yet, MF-er. Like, no, I'm still here. You're going to have to do more. But, like, he can barely do anything. It's like every ounce of energy just in his body just to get his shoulder a fraction of an inch up off the mat. I absolutely love that. It's those little things, right, that make a good match a great match. And I thought these two guys absolutely just followed through on that. I forgot about the brainbuster on top of the steel chair for a hot minute here. I didn't get a chance to take a whole lot of notes on this show tonight, so I'm running completely by my memory. So if I missed something, my bad on that one. But yeah, in this, I thought the commentary as well just like really, really added into this, especially after Orton came down. And, like, honestly, one of my favorite lines of the night was Wade Barrett when they stopped him from doing the punt. And Wade's like, oh, now the security's going to come in and do their damn jobs on this one. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. But what did you make of – did they get the right winner on this one with Kevin Owens beating Sami Zayn?
I think so, because Kevin Owens needed that win after losing at Royal Rumble. You needed something to justify all of the heel stuff. And, you know, this was all to get back to Randy to begin with. And so you couldn't have him lose back-to-back matches. I thought, again, just the way he sold a lot of the moves in this match, the way that he hit some of his moves with just conviction and then just continue to look like completely dead inside as he's just like flinging this guy around the ring. When he hit the two apron power bombs and he just looked like he did not care at all what happened to Sami Zayn. You gotta be pretty good at selling this for somebody that we know is one of his best friends in the world in real life. And he looked like he could give two shits about this guy.
And I think that's what makes the, like, because you think, I'm trying to, like, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, it's the same way, right? They're so close with one another that they just trust each other completely. And it's just like, yeah, lay it in. You got me, big dog. It's going to hurt, but you're going to take care of me, right? And I think that's part of it, that, you know, because they're so close and they've worked so many times together, that's just what makes their matchup special. Obviously, the direction here is Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania. I think that was pretty clear. That was going to be the direction in November when he gave him the package pile driver. I was expecting Orton to come back a long time before. And I was expecting Orton at the Rumble. So the fact that they waited all the way a month later to do it at Elimination Chamber, he got an extra month off. So good for him. He's back now. That another little injection of star power as we head into WrestleMania here. I don't think we're going to see Sami Zayn for a while, which is very, very curious to me. Sami Zayn has been Mr. WrestleMania the last 3-4 years now. He's not going to be on the card this year. I don't, like, he might show up. He might be there, but not having a match, I think, is an interesting move, unless there's something else going on that's keeping him from being on the show. I don't know, but it doesn't appear to me like he's going to be on there, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah. I have to assume with everything they're doing, I would wait, and depending on when Money in the Bank is, you can get him back like around Money in the Bank and it wouldn't hurt anything. But yeah, the Randy Orton thing, they pretty much telegraphed it. I think the great thing that they did with both Sammy and KO is that having Sammy come out during the Royal Rumble match and attend to KO, and KO still turns on him to prove to people that during the Cody feud, they were like, no, Kevin Owens did nothing wrong. And it's like, he came to your aid. He cared about you, and you still can't just let this Roman thing go. No, you're definitively wrong. You're the bad guy here. You still don't see it. But also, to do enough in that match to make you question Cody Rhodes. Like, even when all of this stuff is happening and Kevin is laid out on top of this ladder and Sammy is, like, holding him and trying to attend to him. And then in the background, Cody's just, like, has both belts up like he's Jesus Christ or something. And he could not care less about Kevin Owens laid in a heap. And it did enough to make you think, hey, man, maybe this guy could turn heel. When all of this stuff with The Rock was happening, it's like, well, wait a minute. He did kind of act out of character in that program. Maybe he will sell his soul.
Maybe. That did not turn out to be the case. No. We got Tyrell Vance saying, second time a Randy Orton return gets overshadowed. Yeah. I mean, It was the third biggest headline of the night.
You could say that, but I would say one of the best moments of the night was him teasing the punt. The way that crowd got excited when they thought he was going to punt him, that was one of the biggest moments of the night for me.
Which means we better get a damn punt at WrestleMania. That's all I'm going to say. John Wick 1 GM asking, do you think this will be Orton's last Mania? I do not. He signed a 5-year extension. He's going to be around for a while as long as he is healthy. Let's knock on wood there. We got 10 Ruza saying, need the true best wrestler turned actor Batista to come back and go against Cena Rock. The true fan favorite of Hollywood. Also, his theme is fire. I'm not going to argue with that last case because who the hell could? But yeah, Batista's not going to ruin it. He ain't going to come back. He thinks he had the perfect retirement in that match with Triple H. That's the one that he wanted to have. But yeah, there is something about having that greatest actor ever triple threat. That would be kind of nice. That would get a crap ton of mainstream coverage as well. Real quick, we got to get a check-in from our good buddy Sean.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call-up. With BlueChew.com and the code FIFAL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use BlueChew, and the code FIFAL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top, if you know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Listen. If you don't want to disappoint a young lady that wants to snatch your soul, make sure you get you some Blue Chew.
Very, very good. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in, guys. Guaranteed way to get your comment read on the show. Like Drake saying, heel Cena cool, but TK needs K dot for revolution. Can somebody fill me in on what that means? I got nothing. No? All right. That's fine. All right. We will move on to the men's elimination chamber match, which was won by John Cena tonight. Thought this one was, I don't know, something felt off about it early on. I don't know if I can pinpoint what exactly that was. I thought maybe it was the fact that, you know, Drew got eliminated so early in this match after talking all that shit that he talked heading into this. And then, of course, he's the first one out. And I know there were some, like, rumors that he was winning. So I'm just like, wait a minute. Was that a mistake? Did they screw that up? And I'm like, no, actually, no. Wait a minute. No, it was Damian Priest who eliminated him. So I guess they're just going to be going with that Damian Priest feud that everybody said was the plan at the Royal Rumble. So, yeah, we're just going to keep pushing forward with that. Cool. I'm fine with that. But Drew gets eliminated. He helps get Priest eliminated by Logan Paul. For me, though, this really picked up after Paul got out of the match, and it was just down to Rollins and Punk and Cena. I thought everything between Cena and Punk tonight was just, it was the perfect callback for millennial fans like myself who grew up on these two guys. And the fact that there was so much bad blood and they hated each other. And John gets in the ring and he's got this big smile on his face and he looks like this kid at Christmas. And CM Punk is smiling too. And, you know, Rollins gets in the mix and they got to, you know, kick Rollins to the side. He's like, screw you, get out of here, kid. We're trying to have a moment here. This has nothing to do with you at this point. And they finally get to that point and John's like, hey, let's handshake this out and, you know, may the best man win. And Punk is just like, no. And he comes in there and he gives him a big old hug. Like, that hug I know meant so much to so many wrestling fans in that moment. And I'm just like, oh, that was really, really nice. And then immediately they just get off and start trading haymakers with one another. This match kind of turned into a bit of a finisher fest. And really, I thought it was funny because CM Punk was doing his best Super Cena throughout this. I mean, this man survived a stomp, an AA, God, there was like some a pedigree. I think he survived two AAs. I'm sitting there like, what is it going to take for this man to finally get eliminated? And I love, once again, you know, all the eliminations, they just had their story behind them. You know, Drew McIntyre coming in and saying, I'm clearly focused. I'm going to breeze through this. I'm going to win this for the third time, and I'm going to go to WrestleMania. And what happens? He takes his eye off the ball. He's shit-talking John Cena, and he gets pinned by Damian Priest. Drew helps take out Priest. Logan Paul gets the pin. CM Punk gets the slap back on Logan Paul, drops him with the go-to-sleep. He eliminates him. Seth Rollins' obsession with CM Punk gets him eliminated from the match. And then it's Rollins, after he's eliminated, who finally helps Cena get over the top and eliminate him. It had its clunky moments, Phil. The storytelling was still there. And again, Cena and Punk was just a high spot for me in this one.
Yeah. At one point, I thought there was a chance that Punk was going to turn heel tonight. Watching him Friday illuminated that wasn't going to happen. That fan base loved this guy. When he came out here tonight, that crowd got very loud for him. There was a point during Drew's entrance where there's a guy right behind him with a CM Punk hoodie on. And the whole time he's like screaming at the camera. It's like, boo, get this guy out of here. And the whole time you could see online certain people that obviously don't like Punk and appreciate everything Drew is doing. And it couldn't be any more of the opposite in some of these crowds. I think the storytelling they did with Drew and Damian was very good. To make you interested in the inevitable Drew versus Damian match. The story here of Damian looking around like, no, you've been ignoring me all this time. You've been looking past me all this time. You won a championship at WrestleMania. You did not think there was a chance I could really cash in, and I beat you and became world champion. You came into this match. You're still focused on Punk. You're still obsessed with this guy. At one point, sitting right next to his pod, doing his seated pose. I mean, even everything you're doing with Cena is your obsession with Punk. You can't get over John Cena, and you're trying to do this thing that Punk did and beat Cena to prove yourself, and you're still looking past me. So, no, I'm going to roll you up and eliminate you up out of here.
Yeah. 100%. Apparently, I can't wait to see this. Apparently, John Cena just had a mic drop at the press conference, so that's going to be interesting to see. I believe Sean Rossap was there, so we'll see what happens. Lianza Duncan. There we go. I'll get it. I'm on a lot of caffeine right now.
Get asleep.
I knew he would turn. Cena wouldn't take that win. A lot of people either didn't see it coming or knew it was coming. We have D'Lo Diggs, 47-month member. Thank you so much. Honestly, love Chamber. Also, them Marvin Martian Jordans on Seth. But, man, that look that Cena had made me yell and scared my new cat. Well, we're sorry for the cat, obviously, on that one. But that was such a a huge moment. Before we dive into it, we got one more sponsor that we got to get to here. So I want to get to that before we dive into the full Rock Cena moment and everything like that. So hang with us here for just a few minutes. We'll get back and we'll dive into everything that happened to close out the show tonight.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag, that's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag, only bet what you can and please bet responsibly.
Okay, so literally what happened in the press conference? John Cena walks in, sits down, stoic look on his face, doesn't say a word, takes the microphone off of the little stand, holds it up, drops it, leaves. 16 seconds, that's all he was there. He was gone.
So, okay.
That's literally.
A big nothing.
Yeah, literally a mic drop moment in the press conference, and I'm sure everybody who...
This is what this guy that did a rap gimmick who has wanted to do his entire career, surround himself with people of color, including an actual rapper to give him credibility. But man, there's so many small things that happened in this match that led into this. Like when it got to the end, I was like, I don't know, this could go either way. But the way that it ended, I was like, oh yeah, he's definitely turning. Because even the way that he beat Punk, he didn't really beat him. He kind of cheated. Well, even if you don't want to say he cheated, he
took an out that he normally wouldn't take.
He took advantage of a situation in a way that he wouldn't have before. The Logan and Punk stuff was great. Logan mocking him by his chamber. And as soon as his chamber opens, because he was the last person out of his pod, Punk runs out of his pod and he goes, "You know it's me." And he just immediately jumps on him and starts punching him. Hilarious. hilarious. Then we got the spot that I knew was coming as soon as he jumped over the rope to do it. He started setting up for the buckshot lariat. And I was like, he's going to counter the buckshot and hit a GTS. That is exactly what we got. And I immediately thought, oh, it's almost like Punk knows this moveset. Where could he have possibly seen this?
One of my favorite parts of the match, honestly, though, was right at the beginning, because it started with Seth and Drew, and they're both just beating the shit out of each other right in front of Punk's pod, and it's just hilarious watching him cheer both of them on, saying, "Do it again, hit him harder, slam him into the pod
harder,
again.
Harder, harder." Yeah, at one point, one of the lights in his pod gets knocked down. So you can see him in the background where they're fighting in the middle of the ring. He just bends down and picks the light up and he starts carefully putting it back at the top of the pod. Really funny stuff.
By the way, shout out to Luis for letting me know that K-Dot is Kendrick Lamar. Now I get it. I'm in on the joke. Thank you. Got it.
Yeah, that's right. Drake was in the building tonight. They were in Canada. Yeah. Logan Paul wrote on his pod at one point, "Humble," which is the name of a Kendrick record, and he wrote OVO on the other side to mock both Canada and Drake. I was surprised they didn't show Drake in the crowd ever, but he was there.
Yeah, no, for sure. There were photos of him online, so I'm caught up to speed. I do now understand the reference. So after the match is over, they immediately, like, John is celebrating. They're raising the cage, and then immediately, boom, here comes Cody Rhodes down to the ring. I thought it was nice that they gave him and John one kind of last little moment there, what turned out to be John's last babyface moment, where they, you know, give a handshake and a show of respect. And then immediately here comes The Rock down to the ring, and Travis Scott is there with him, and he's got his custom WWE championship belt. And I'm like, okay, well, at first, cause he like did like a remix. Right. So I'm like, oh, are they going to elongate this further? Are we going to get a Travis Scott performance before The Rock even comes out? Cause I'm like, dude, let's not drag this on for another 5 minutes. But they didn't. He just comes down to the ring with The Rock. And I'm like, okay, so cool. Travis Scott is there. Great. I don't know what he adds to the situation other than, hey, cool, there's Travis Scott in a WWE ring, but he was there. And very quickly, you know, Rock hops right into it. He's like, hey, this is your moment. You're going to come here. You're going to embrace me. You're going to be my champion. And, yeah, we're going to be off and running with this thing. And Cody, in his classic way, kind of makes you think maybe just for a second he's going to accept it. And he was like, my soul is no longer mine. Pause. Dramatic pause. And then Cody goes, because I gave it to the ring and the fans a long time ago. Huge pop. Then, and I'm quoting him, he goes, Rock, go fuck yourself. And there was an even bigger pop. And I'm like, oh, well, that's the biggest headline. And John Cena's expression was spectacular. He looked like he, like, I don't know. He looked like he had won the lottery or something. Like he was just got this huge grin. He was glowing. He was jumping around. Like, damn right. Good on you, Cody Rhodes. You stuck to your principles. Loyalty, hustle, respect, all that stuff that John Cena brought millions of kids up on, right? He gives him a big hug. And then The Rock gives the signal, and just all the emotion washes away from John Cena. And all of a sudden it's like, man, those acting classes have really paid off. Like everything just drained from his face. And it was like, oh shit, they're actually doing this. And then it went right into it. Low blow. He grabs the Rolex that Cody gifted to The Rock at WrestleMania 40 last year, starts punching him in the face with it. And it was just an all, I don't remember everything that happened in that moment. Cause again, I'm writing my news story at this point. I'm rewriting my news story for the third time for SI at this point, just frantically typing. So I missed a lot of the beatdown, but I got the general consensus that Cody got his ass kicked. I turned around at one point and here's Travis Scott of all people and The Rock, Travis Scott and John Cena holding down Cody Rhodes so The Rock could whip him with this custom weight belt that has his dad's death date on it. I'm like, this is some sadistic shit. And also, why is Travis Scott here? But the whole thing was just, it was Hollywood at its finest, honestly, which is fitting for a Rock segment. It was, honestly, it was everything that I wanted it to be because I wanted them, this is the direction I wanted them to go with Cena. I said it at the top of the show. I think him coming back and playing the hits would have got old for his retirement tour. I am so happy that they are doing something different with him, that they are daring to be bold and turn him heel. And now it's John Cena and the Final Boss together as this mega powers super tandem heading into WrestleMania against Cody. Like, yeah, sign me up. I'm good with this. What did you think overall of the final segment here?
I think it's multi-layered. I think they did some very interesting things here. I've seen some people point out that you could see him make that same facial expression at the end of the Royal Rumble when he lost, where he looked emotionless. And then he quickly changed and gave Jey Uso the endorsement. And right. If you think about it, yeah, you can't do that. He's part of the family. You can't do that to him. But Cody, sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think all of that stuff playing up, I also think it's very interesting that you can see in him trying to find somebody else to be his champion. The unspoken thing in all of this is that The Rock has not mentioned Roman once. He hasn't said a word about Roman. And I think that's because he sees it like, no, you failed. I did not lose at WrestleMania. I pinned Cody. The next day, you failed. And then you came back and you needed his help to beat Solo? I don't want you. I need somebody else to represent me. And that's the thing that's kind of being unsaid here. And yeah. I think that's going to lead to something later on. If we're to believe that this Rock Roman match can still happen, the building blocks are there. Him, again, not referencing Roman at all, said so much. And even like towards the end of this, and he's continuing to taunt Cody with his father's death and all this other stuff, and continuing to do this whole storyline that he started last year with Don't Break My Heart Again. I wonder if they're ever going to reveal what he gave Cody in his hand at Mania.
I think it was the watch.
It was the watch?
It was what? He gave the watch back to Cody.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so Cody gave him the watch, because I think they revealed that on social media, like ahead of, because remember when The Rock came out on the Netflix premiere and he wasn't The Rock, he wasn't the final ball, he was just Dwayne Johnson, TKO board member, saying, hey, look how great this is awesome, and Cody's been a great champion and everything is great, and everybody's like, dude, what the hell? Like, we've been waiting 10 months for you to come back and you've just pissed away the entire storyline, right? So now he's trying to come back and obviously fix all that. But yeah, I believe they said on social media that it was the Cody gave him that watch at WrestleMania 40, and then The Rock gave it back to him the next night.
That would make sense. At the beginning of the pay-per-view, when they're showing everybody getting ready for the night, that was the first thing we saw, was Cody putting the watch on.
Yes.
So that makes sense now. The Travis Scott stuff was very random, but it all felt like, let's make The Rock feel like the biggest star possible. We run a whole hype package for this guy in the middle of this show to tell you how great he is, what he's done for all these other celebrities. Look what he's done for all these other wrestlers. And yeah. I'm just like, do we really need this? And then he comes out with the big entrance with Travis Scott. Travis Scott is there the entire time. For some reason, on his Tron, it said Scott Travis. I don't know why. But throughout this beating, he keeps like waving sage over him, which is hilarious. I don't know why he kept doing that. He was in the corner lighting sage while everything was happening. And then as Cody's getting beat down, he continues to wave the sage over him. I don't know what he was doing here. It felt very random. But the turn itself was very well executed. I think we all knew that. Well, I think for the most part, we knew Cody was going to say no.
Of course he was.
Cody did it in the most dramatic way possible, like you said, of keeping us waiting all the way to the end and giving the big lines to get the pop out of the crowd. But Cena in the background celebrating with everything that's happening, like, ha ha, he sure showed you. And the whole time, he is faking the whole time, which I guessed because he was overacting the whole time. I was like, oh yeah, he's faking it.
Like, I was almost like, I love the way that they did it too, because like the way that like everything was set up, like there was a spot where Cody like turned his shoulder to Cena. I'm like, oh, is he going to clothesline him from behind or something like that? Like, is this how we're going to do it? I loved how they ended up doing it much better with the embrace and then the emotion washing away from John's face. Will Chisholm with the super chat here. It makes sense why WWE had The Rock, Cena, and Travis Scott on the poster now. Yeah, actually, that makes a little bit of sense.
Kind,
now. A little foreshadowing for the end of the night anyway.
Kind of.
Another one from Will Chisholm says, The Rock, Travis Scott, and Cena was not the group I thought I wanted. And did Travis Scott light up a blunt in the ring?
See, that's why I wasn't sure. I was like, is that sage? Or is he lighting a blunt?
I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that somebody's done that on WWE.
But I mean, when he started waving it over him, that's why I thought it was sage. Why would you wave a lit blunt over somebody? What are you doing?
I don't know. We have Tony P saying, amazing heel turn by Cena. To semi-quote the Juggernaut from that old parody, he been waiting for that shit all his life, LOL. Travis Scott with the blunt, so another blunt, and helping out was the cherry on top. On the other hand, it was a somewhat repeat of last year. One final thing I have to say that I loved, right? There was, I forget exactly where it was, but at some point during the night, they were bleeping out the crowd. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it was like a holy shit or a, you know, whatever. Maybe they were chanting. There was a fuck chant in there. And then plain as day at the end of the night, they just let Cody scream, go fuck yourself. So like they muted the crowd, but at the end of the night, they're just like, ah, screw it. We'll just like,
you're not going to censor the Rock. You can't have blood in that match. That's their problem. You can't have curse words over there. No. Not in my segment. You're not going to censor the Rock.
Oh, goodness. All right. I think we got, I think we got one more. Luis, so someone did turn Homelander, just not Cody.
But yeah, I think the men's chamber match ended up being pretty good for what it was. I think that they built a lot of interesting storylines in this. I think we're definitely getting Damian versus Drew at WrestleMania. Seth being as petty as possible and taking two men to take him down because the hate was flowing through him the entire match. He was not going to let this guy main event. And when Punk had the match won, that stomp looked so nasty and satisfying outside of the ring. And while everything's happening and Punk is getting pinned, they cut back to him staring through the cage with this big smirk on his face. Very funny stuff. But again, I'm also kind of surprised we didn't see any Roman at all here, which yeah. I think is intentional with the Cody and Rock stuff. But I have to assume Roman is going to come back and attack Rollins at some point. And it seems like that's going to lead us to a triple threat match because the way that Rollins cost Punk this match, I don't see Punk having a match with anybody else other than Roman or Rollins here. I've seen people say it could be Logan as well. I don't think they're just going to move on from him stomping Punk at the end of this match.
No, I think that right now that's your front runner for your night one main event, honestly. Clearly, Cody and Cena at this point with The Rock involved is going to main event night two. I think Roman, Seth and Punk finally getting into the main event together. I know Seth was able to get there last year, but this was a match with Roman now added into the mix they were supposed to have last year. So doing that triple threat makes a ton of sense. So Roman will get his 10th WrestleMania main event when Punk gets his first. So I think that's good there. I agree with you. I think it's going to be Drew and Damian. I think it's going to be KO and Randy coming out of this. I think we're working towards a multi-man Intercontinental Championship match with AJ Styles and Finn Balor and maybe Ludwig Kaiser and Penta in the mix there. So, yeah, I think the card coming out of this show is shaping up pretty nicely. I know there were a lot of people. I saw so many people complaining ahead of this show tonight that there was no clear path to WrestleMania for so many of these men, like men superstars. And I'm like, have you guys, one, not been paying attention? And two, like, the show is so much later this year. It's April 20th. We got almost 2 months before this damn pay-per-view. There's so much time to set up and tell so many stories. So I think it's going to be a roller coaster from this point. I think they did a nice job slow playing up to Elimination Chamber. And I think from here out, it's going to be balls to the walls because we still got Roman who needs to come back. Maybe Becky still comes back at some point. Although at this point, maybe they keep her off until WrestleMania or the Raw after. I don't know, depending on if they can get some creative worked out with her. But, yeah, overall, I think they got a pretty good path toward WrestleMania here. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think the great thing, like you said, about the heel turn for Cena is this laid the groundwork for so many other things you can do for the rest of the year for him. Because I don't think he's going to win. I think that Cody's going to beat him at WrestleMania. And I think that Jey Uso's probably going to win as well. And when he doesn't beat Cody, he's going to go after Jay's title. And you still have the Punk Cena stuff. You still have so many other routes you can go with this. You've got, like I said, a year of stuff you can do with him, even as a part-timer. Even if you just say he's coming back for SummerSlam and other big pay-per-view, you already have ready-made feud for those shows.
One last super chat to get here from Ten Ruzo. What happened to doing the host country's anthem? We all don't want to hear the U.S. stuff. It's weird here when it's sung forced upon us.
Yeah. There were very weird political things here for a company that is supposed to be apolitical from what we keep hearing from certain wrestlers. But Logan Paul making a point to come out with that flag to egg the crowd on.
There's going to be
same thing.
Yeah, there's going to be certain liberties that are taken here or there. But all right.
Yeah, and I firmly believe, for people that were saying earlier, I firmly believe that's why we haven't seen any Black History Month stuff from this company. I firmly believe that's why. But just
hunch. We got one more coming in. One more, last one from Raphael. It's being typed up as we speak. So, yep. Okay, here we go. Objectively, this was a good PLE. Objectively, everything that needed to happen did. I see why Jade killed Naomi. However, this is the second year that Naomi was eliminated first. I know it did its job, but twice is crazy. I don't know what will happen. Yeah, I do feel bad for Naomi in that instance. Last year's was weird, right? Because like they just because that was like what, a month after she returned, so she's been around. Was last year's Royal Rumble the one where she came back 2024 when she came back to the company? Okay, so yeah, it was like a month after she returned. She was the first one eliminated in the chamber. That one was weird. I actually look at tonight, and maybe it's with, you know, hope where there's no reason to be hope, but I cannot imagine that they do this. If it was Naomi who did it, right, and it's not your theory that it was Bianca and she just got her best friend murdered, right? Like, I don't see how they do this if it was Naomi who attacked her and not give them a singles match at WrestleMania. I just don't see how they do that. So I think this is actually a good thing, Naomi.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if this means that Jade is going to move forward and Naomi's going to be off TV for a bit. I don't know. But I think it's fine because you've built this year-long story with Jade, Naomi, and Bianca that means something. It wasn't an elimination that had no purpose like last year. So I'm fine with it. And she looked great. I think the funny thing about the way she was eliminated is she came in with the white gear. They let her entrance go for a very long time. She got to milk the most she could out of entrance and then got completely throttled.
Yeah. All right. Phil, what you got going on? Where can people find your stuff?
You can find me on Blue Sky. I am still on the Twitter machine, but I very rarely use it because... reasons. Very obvious reasons. But you can still follow me there. You can follow me on Twitter at PhilDL616. You can follow me on Blue Sky as well. You can follow my writing at Bleacher Report. And you can find me every Saturday at noon Eastern hosting Grapsody with Righteous Reg.
Follow me at Rick Uccino on Twitter or Blue Sky or Instagram. I think those are the only three I'm on. Threads, is that still a thing? I'm on there as well. RickUccino. Of course, you can follow my work over on The Takedown on SI as well. And, of course, every Saturday when I'm not working my other job. Here with Iridian and Cresta breaking down Collision. We'll actually talk about Collision next week because I'll actually watch Collision next week. Enjoy your weekend, guys. Thank you so much for sticking with us here. Make sure to give this video a like, subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel if you haven't already, and sign up for Fightful Select. Best $6 in the business. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.